everybody, Scott here from Planet Shakers. Hope you are having a great week. You know, today's message is about growing in our gratitude. There's three steps that I want to take you on this journey of gratitude and how you can have a prophetic gratitude at the end of this. So stay tuned, be blessed as you watch this message.
The Americans do holidays really well. Americans do Christmas really well. They do Easter really well. I mean, Australians are generally a little bit more casual, I think. And they do Thanksgiving, in my opinion, in my humble opinion. I don't know if Pastor Rudy is married to an American. I don't know if he'll agree. But they especially do Thanksgiving quite well. They've got Black Friday after Thanksgiving. And when you go to America at this season, there's pumpkin spice everything. It's actually true. Has anybody tried pumpkin spice something? Give me a wave. Okay, some of you know what I'm talking about. There's actually in Starbucks here in Melbourne, there is a pumpkin spice latte that you can get. Don't judge it until you've tried it. It's not terrible. But you've got pumpkin spice cereal and ice cream and coffee creamer, and yogurts and pretzels and popcorns in typical American fashion. You got a pumpkin spiced iced coffee, pumpkin spiced iced chocolate. I don't even know how you do that. And then check this out from Old Spice, pumpkin spice deodorant. Like, OMG, what is wrong with you if you're gonna roll that thing on and smell like a clove or cinnamon for the rest of it? I don't get it. Well, maybe, I don't know, cinnamon smells nice, right? But Americans celebrate Thanksgiving, and really Thanksgiving comes from Abraham Lincoln after the Civil War of America, which consumed 640,000 lives. And Abraham Lincoln stands at the end of this battle as the anti-slavery North wins the battle against the South. And he says this, Abraham Lincoln says, "I want to acknowledge, despite the degradation in my nation, the blessing of fruitful fields and rain from the skies, because these are evident blessings from God." And as I began to read that in my travels, I began to think about the fact that we are coming to the conclusion or the close of our year. And really, I want to preach today, it's three simple thoughts from the title of Growing in Our Gratitude. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, "Growing in my gratitude." Turn to your neighbor and say, "I'm going to grow today." You are a lively bunch. Good job. Well, the meaning of gratitude is this. The quality, I thought gratitude was a verb actually, it's a doing thing. But gratitude actually is a noun, it's a state of being, if you know what I mean. And the meaning of gratitude, if you're taking notes, is it's this, it's the quality of being thankful. It's not just the act of being thankful, come on somebody, it's actually the innate quality of being thankful continuously. This is another definition in the dictionary. It's the readiness to show appreciation and the reciprocation of kindness in return. Let me repeat that. It's the readiness to show appreciation and the reciprocation of kindness in that appreciation. Come on, somebody. It's the fact that I am able to see the goodness in life. Come on, give me a wave if this year has been a year of supernatural increase over your life. If God has blessed you, if God has provided for you. And you know, so I began to, in my devotions, I feel like, give me a wave here. If Holy Spirit sometimes takes you on a thematic sort of journey on your devotion sometimes, like he's been speaking to me a lot about gratitude lately, a lot about my praise, a lot about my thankfulness, a lot about my thanksgiving. And you know, so the other day I was in the car and I do a lot of my devotions in my Toyota Corolla. Come on, somebody, every university student said amen. 10 years after finishing university, I still have my university car. 200,000 kilometers on the Corolla, has not broken down. Go the Japanese, amen. European car would have broken down long before this. Cost me about $8,000, worth about $8 at the moment, but still gets me from point A to point B. Come on, somebody. Doesn't have Bluetooth, no GPS, the clutch hardly works, but it's okay in Jesus' name. Somebody very kindly offered to service my car after the last service, so amen. If you would like to buy me another, jokes. But I was doing my devotions in the car, and I began to praise God. First level of gratitude, the title of the sermon today is Growing in Our Gratitude. Or levels of gratitude. And I began to praise God for all that He has done this year for me. Has God done anything for anybody in this service today? Has God done anything for you online today? Come on, somebody, if he has, you can give him a 10-second shout of praise in this place. Woo! You know, he led me to this verse, right? It'll come out on the screen. It's Deuteronomy 8 and 7. This is where Moses is instructing the nation of Israel as they enter in into the promised land. He says this, check this out. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land. Everybody say good land. A land flowing with streams, with springs and underground waters welling up in valleys and hills. Wow, this is a great vacation place. A land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates. A land of olive trees and honey. A land where you may eat bread without scarcity. Come on, somebody. You know, translation, a land of char kway teow, a land of mamak, a land of truffle pasta, a land of pork noodles, a land of crispy rice. Come on, somebody. Okay, let's go home and eat. A land flowing with milk and honey, a blessed land. Land where you can eat bread without scarcity. Amen. I can't eat bread at the moment. I'm going to have a pizza after this, though. No F45 diet for me. Where you will lack nothing. A land where stones are iron and from which hills you may mine copper. A prosperous land. You will eat your fill and you will bless the Lord your God for the good land that he has given you. Moses is instructing the nation of Israel to say, hang on a minute. God is giving you a good land. God is giving you a prosperous land. God is giving you a land of supernatural increase. Come on, somebody. Don't forget to be grateful. Don't forget to praise him. Don't forget to thank him. Don't forget to come with the spirit of thankfulness. See, the first point today is I have gratitude for. And I have gratitude for the fact, you know, my in-laws are actually watching right now. And 10 months ago, we've been praying for mom and dad for the last 10 years since I've known Pearl. And they accepted Jesus in January this year. And their lives have never been the same again. Let me tell you that Jesus will transform you. He is real. He is evident. He will transform your life. He will set you on a rock. He will give you a plan and a vision. He is good. You will never regret. And in 20 minutes time, if you don't know Jesus, I'm going to give you the opportunity to receive him. I can be grateful. I can praise God for the fact that my parents-in-law are saved and they are going to an eternity that is with Christ. I can also praise God for the fact that Pearl, my wife, has been on maternity leave for 9 months. But when Pastor Russell shared the vision of the church, which I'm not about to do today, still supernatural increase. I want to keep my job. Thank you, Pastor Russell, if you're watching. But as he shared the vision of the house, as he shared for the building that we're going to build, as he shared, I said to my wife, I said, honey, you're not working this year. We don't know where the money's coming from, but I want to praise God for the fact that I gave double what I intended to give in the name of Jesus. That he financially provided for me and my family, despite the fact that my wife did not work for 9 months this year. I'm grateful to God for a bunch of things that have happened this year. You see, what is that? I'm grateful for what I can see. So if this container represents my life and this red liquid here represents the things that God has done in my life, I can look at that red liquid and say, I thank God. I thank God that he saved my parents. I thank God that he saved my in-laws. I thank God that he financially provided for me. I thank God that I've got a job. I thank God I've got my health. Thank God for a bunch of things. And in my devotions, in my Toyota Corolla that's worth $8. Not even joking, Pastor Rudy's been in my Corolla a few times. It's worth about $850 when he's in there. No, it's worth millions of dollars when he's in there. But as I'm praising the Holy Spirit, I'm praising God. I'm saying, Holy Spirit, thank you for this year. Thank you for the blessing. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for... And as I'm driving to work and driving back for the past couple of weeks, I'm like, God, what a great year this year has been. What a great year of supernatural increase. What a great blessing year. What a year that you've propelled my life. You blessed the Bible college. You blessed the college staff. You blessed the Planet Shaker staff. You've done all these great things. And then the Holy Spirit stopped me. One day in my praise, the Holy Spirit stopped me. I remember this as I was driving down Wurundjeri, or whatever that bend is, to come to work. And the Holy Spirit suddenly stopped me and he said, hang on a minute. I'm like, excuse you? Does anybody have frank conversations with God here? Come on, give me a wave if you have. God can handle your frank conversations. Come on, somebody. God can handle your humanity. God can handle when you sometimes go, hey, what? Hang on a minute. I was praising you. I was worshiping you. I was magnifying your name and you stopped me. And he said, you're being like Charlie. And I'm like, excuse you? That's my 6-month-old daughter. You can see a photo there. That's after she's eaten and something else is coming out on the other end. It ain't food, if you know what I mean. That's a particular face. Sorry, hun. Cannot wait. I cannot wait for her 18th birthday when I'm going to show all these photos. Come on. Does anybody have dads like that? Yeah, Tavonga, you're going to do the same, right, T? We're keeping a file. Yeah, totally. I can't wait. That will be one of the first ones. She's so cute. But she said, you're being like Charlie. What do you mean by that? You see, Charlie, Ava was an average eater when she was born, and we prayed while Charlie was in mummy's tummy. We said, Charlie's going to be an awesome eater. Well, she definitely has. She eats just as much as Ava eats. It's incredible. But you see, Charlie has an impatience issue. You feed her, and then she smiles. That's the face she gives you. She smiles and she coos and she's all happy. And then the minute you go back to take some more food, in that time period to feeding her the next meal, it's a millisecond, she begins to growl at you. My 6-month-old begins to go, begins to manifest. She's coming to Inner Champion next week. I'm not even joking. Those are the sounds she makes. Trust me. And the Holy Spirit began to say, you are exactly like Charlie. And I'm like, hang on a minute. Excuse you, I'm praising you, I'm like Charlie. He says, you're praising me only for the things you can see. Oh, come on, somebody. You're praising me for the things that I've done for you. You're praising me for the things, you have gratitude for the things that I have already done in your life. That's just called good manners. Oh, hear my words here today. That's just called good. It's not a bad praise. It's still a good praise, but it's a kindergarten praise. It's not a bad praise at all, but it's an entry-level praise. It's an entry-level gratitude. You're saying, I've done some stuff in your life and you're thanking me for those things. That's the bare minimum. If God has done a work in your life, if He saved you, come on, somebody, you should praise Him for the rest of your days. I don't need to encourage you for that. If you've been saved, if you've got breath in your lungs. So I'm like, whoa, explain that a little bit. Just like Moses is instructing the Israelites to say, hey, you've got a land now flowing with milk and honey. You're going to have peace and prosperity in the promised land. Now praise Him. I don't just want to praise God for the things I can see. I don't just want to praise God for things. I don't just want to praise God because there's money in my bank, because I have health in my bones, because I'm blessed. That's the entry level. That's the kindergarten level. That's the beginning level of my praise. Come on, say, grow in my gratitude. I want to grow in my gratitude. You see, Deuteronomy 8 tells us, how do I say the word correctly? Deuteronomy tells us to praise Him for the things that are already in our lives. Come on, what is in your life today that you can give praise for? It doesn't matter what your circumstances are. It doesn't matter what you're going through. There is something that you can praise God for. But then the Holy Spirit began to encourage me. I said, okay, if I'm going to grow in my gratitude, if I'm going to go to the next level in my gratitude, if I'm going to go from level 1 to level 2, if I'm going to go from a freshman to a sophomore, come on somebody, if I'm going to go from first year university to second year university, if I'm going to go from a bachelor degree to a postgraduate degree, what do I actually do? He said, go and turn to David. It'll come on the screen. My next point is a gratitude despite. Psalm 27 and 4 says this, the one thing I ask of the Lord, the thing I seek the most is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, delighting in the Lord's perfection and meditating in His temple. For He will conceal me there when troubles come. He will hide me in His sanctuary. He will place me out of the reach on a high rock. And listen to this, there I will hold my head high above my enemies who surround me at His sanctuary. I will offer sacrifices with shouts of joy, singing and praising the Lord with music. What is that? David is not writing from a peaceful place. David is not writing from a secure place. David is writing in that psalm of a place where he is literally surrounded by enemies. And he's saying, yet despite that, you see Psalm 23, a couple of Psalms ago says this, though I walk through, you know this, the valley of the shadow of death, I will not what? I will not fear. For why? Because his rod and his staff, they comfort me. What is David saying? David's saying that I am grateful despite my circumstances. Come on, somebody, that I can praise him despite what I'm going through. I can praise him despite my issues. I can praise him despite. See, to use my analogy, Dixon, my trusty assistant, can come here. But the first level, if you see here, I feel like I'm on a cooking show like MasterChef. But on the, I don't know. The first level, Frank's not going to come up, trust me. The first level inside Joe, Fred, okay, concentrate, my gosh. The first level of my gratitude is to praise God for what I can see. The first level of my gratitude, the basic level of my gratitude, the beginner's guide to gratitude, to praise, to say, God, I can see that you've done some stuff in my life, so I'm going to praise you. The second level of gratitude is to say, God, I'm going to praise you despite what I see. It's this bit here in our lives. Come on, somebody. You know, my parents have been saved, and we pray for you, mom and dad, every day. They've been saved for 10 months now, but my mom still needs a miracle. My mother-in-law still needs a miracle because she goes to the Singapore hospital 3 times a week to have dialysis, and she hasn't been able to come here and visit us. And you know what I'm going to say? I'm going to praise God that she's healed, but I'm going to start praising God that her dialysis will be healed in the name of Jesus, that her kidneys will be healed in the name of Jesus. Maybe some of you don't have money in the bank, but as you begin to praise God, it begins to fill that void in your life. Just like David is saying, though I have, thanks Dixon, give him a hand. What a handsome man. Despite the fact that I can't see some stuff in my life, despite the fact that circumstances might have clouded a few things in my life, despite the fact that I don't see it tangibly materialized in my life yet, does not preclude me from praising him. Come on, somebody. Come on, what is there that you need to praise God for prophetically so that you will see the breakthrough? Come on, give him a shout of praise at the moment. What is it that you're going to praise God for? Maybe for some of you, keep praising him. Maybe for some of you, it's a relationship that needs to be fixed. Maybe for some of you, it's salvation in your family. Praise God. Praise God that I can praise him for the things I see. But I praise God for the things I can't see. I prophetically praise. I praise him despite the circumstances. I praise him despite what I see with my life. I praise him that my mother-in-law will be healed in the name of Jesus. I praise him that my family or my kids, I don't see it yet, but my kids will grow up in the house of the Lord. And as for me and my household, we will serve this house for the rest of our lives. I praise God for Planet Shakers that we don't own this building yet, but in the name of Jesus, we will. Praise God, praise God. Gratitude for, gratitude despite. Keys, you can come. Got 9 minutes. So I was doing that with the Holy Spirit in my Toyota. Don't know why I keep coming back to my Toyota. Maybe it's time for me to change my car. Time to get a Volkswagen. An Audi. Bless me, Lord. Nah, I'm going to praise God for. And I praise God despite. And I was doing exactly that. I praise God that healing will come to my family. Praise God that the things that I struggle with, the insecurities that I struggle with, I praise God that you are going to overcome that. I praise God for the burdens I have. I praise God that you're going to lift those burdens. And I began to do that with the Holy Spirit in my car and my devotions. You know, come on, if you don't regularly spend time, I want to talk to you, Christian. If you don't spend time with Holy Spirit, spend time with the Holy Spirit, because that's where you're going to get your source of life. That's where university student, yeah, or when you go home to Malaysia or Singapore or Indonesia or the US or wherever you come from, continue to develop and nurture that relationship with God. And I began to praise him. Oh, you are awesome. I praise you in advance. I don't see it with my eyes. Oh, but I see it in my prophetic eye. And then he stopped me. And I'm like, are you for real? He stopped me one day as I was praising. He said, there's one more level. And I'm like, what on earth are you talking about? I praise you for the things I have. I praise you for the things I don't have. What else do I praise you for? And it's a praise because. It's a gratitude because. You say in my master's, you have to specialize in an area. And Dr. Clayton Coombs, who's our academic dean at college here, he's a New Testament scholar. Pastor Rudy here has done a lot of work on leadership and pastoral care. And I'm particularly drawn to the life and time of Paul. You know, they call them Pauline theologians who study the life of Paul. I believe with all my heart that after Jesus, Paul was the second most powerful man to ever walk the face of this earth. His testimony is incredible. That Paul, if you don't know the Bible, Paul was a Jewish Pharisee, which means that he studied the Old Testament law. He prosecuted Christians. He persecuted Christians. And then on the road to Damascus, he had, come on somebody, one encounter with Jesus that will change his life forever. And in about 7 minutes, there will be an opportunity for you to have an encounter with Jesus that will change your life. I believe it with all of my heart. Because if he can do it to Paul and he can do it for me, he can do it for you as well. And we get to read the life and time of Paul, and that's where I found this last point of gratitude. Because a gratitude because what? A gratitude because he's God. Read this from Philippians 1:3. It says this, I thank God every time. This is Paul writing. Sorry, let me tell you a little bit about where Paul writes this from. If you study New Testament studies, which you can do in first year, cheeky plug for the college, come and join us next year. But if you study the New Testament, if you study the Pauline epistles, which are the prison epistles, Paul writes a bunch of these epistles, Philippians being one of them, in a Roman cell. It's not the kind of prison that you think and I think in this 21st century modern time. It's not the fact that you have a mattress and there's 3 square meals a day and there's a TV that kind of works and you get yard time. It's not that kind of prison. See, a Roman jail was in the darkest dungeon. It was devoid of light. And because Paul was a political prisoner, they would chain him next to 2 Roman guards, one on his left and one on his right. Not for 8 hours a day, not for 10 hours a day, not for 16 hours a day, 24/7. He would be chained to 2 Roman guards. There were 8 guards that would take shifts. He was chained continuously to those guards. Can't imagine as a guy, your lack of personal space. You went to sleep with the guards. You went to the washroom with the guards. You did everything with the 2 guards. And yet, he manages to pen this. He says in Philippians, he says this, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Paul is in chains. You know what his eventual outcome? Had a stutter there. His eventual outcome is, scholars would say, it's not confirmed, but scholars would say that he was ultimately beheaded by the Roman government. And he knew that that was coming. He was ultimately executed. And as he was writing this, he says, I thank God every time I remember you in all my prayers. I pray with what joy, gratitude, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that He, Christ, who began a good work in you, will carry it to completion until the day He returns. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. Whether I am in chains or defending or confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And you're like, well, what does that have to do with his gratitude? Well, I began to study all the rest of his prison epistles. Actually, I studied the whole canon of Paul's work. And I said, where is Paul's praise despite his situation? Oh, you get this in 3 minutes. Where's Paul's praise to God? Where's Paul saying, God, I'm in a prison, save me. God, I'm stuck with these 2 smelly Roman guards. God, I've preached your word. I've served you diligently. Where is my help? And you would expect if Paul has lived such a great life, he has communicated the gospel more than any of the other apostles combined, you would think that he could praise God for his freedom. He could praise God for his redemption. He could praise God for his own life to say, God, I don't see yet. But Paul is so enamored with Christ. Paul is so enamored with Christ. Paul is so consumed with the kingdom of God and the purposes of God. You see, I'm not here at this level of gratitude yet. This is the PhD of gratitude. This is the doctoral degree. This is the terminal course. And Paul, you never find Paul ever saying to God, save me, rescue me, set me free. I don't want to be in this circumstance. I don't want to be in this jail. He just talks about the kingdom of God. He just says, I praise God that even though I'm in prison, I can write this letter to encourage you in the gospel, because it's the gospel of Jesus Christ that matters. See, I want to graduate in my praise, because this praise is all about me. And this praise is all about me as well. And there's nothing wrong, by the way, with these two praises. Oh, but come on, somebody. This praise is about the kingdom of God. This praise is about the kingdom. Dixon, you can join me again. But this year is the year of supernatural increase. And I believe that as Paul wrote this in Philippians, God, I thank you for the 5,000 people that have been saved this year at Melbourne Camp. Come on, somebody. God, I thank you for the 5,000 recorded decisions, because it ain't about me. It's about somebody else. God, I thank you for the 9,000 new people that have come to Melbourne campus alone. God, I thank you for the Belief campaign. God, I thank you for all those salvations. God, I thank you. I thank you, I thank you, I thank you, I thank you. And if you would begin to praise God enough, all of a sudden, you got supernatural increase and overflow in your life. Come on, somebody. Can you praise God despite your circumstances and begin to praise God for His kingdom? See, I want to graduate in my praise, because this is a dress rehearsal for all of eternity. And I want to fix my eye, not on myself. I don't want to fix my eye on my circumstances, because I know God will come through for me regardless. But I want to fix my eye on eternity. I want to fix my eye on eternal promises. I want to fix my eye on people getting saved. I want to fix my eye on this city bowing its knee. Because sometimes we get so consumed with me, myself, and I. And we praise God for ourselves. And again, like I said, there's nothing wrong with that. But if we as a church would get this today, university student, young adult in this place, wherever you walk of life you come from, if you would get a perspective that it's not about me, it's about His kingdom. It's not about me, it's about the person next to me. It's not about me, it's that person that's lost out there. You see, I came as a 15, 18 year old, barely saved Christian to this church. And then under our two senior pastors, Pastor Russell and Sam, I've caught this vision that Melbourne will bow its knee, that Singapore will bow its knee, that Geneva will bow its knee, that Geelong will bow its knee, that Austin will bow its knee, that Cape Town will bow its knee. Because it ain't about me.
Well, I hope you've enjoyed the message. Remember to have gratitude in everything we do, to have gratitude for the things God has done in your life and God is about to do in your life. Have a blessed week.